Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Annie DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. I am Melissa Annie DeBerry, a licensed clinical addiction specialist in the state of North Carolina, owner of Trinity Counseling Services, Charlotte and Burlington, and that's who sponsors this show. Trinity Counseling Services is located at 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and Burlington, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. I'm glad to be here this morning. I just want to give an honor to God. I just want to say thank you, God, for keeping peace through the night. Thank you, God, for allowing rest. Thank you, God, for safety and safe travels as we go throughout the day. I just want to say thank you, God, for continuing to give us wisdom, knowledge, and instruction for our day as we go. And we are in the month of March. This is March 3rd, 2016, 8 o'clock, Talk with Trinity edition, March. If you look at the blogtalkradio.com/TrinityMe, I've got an outline of what we want to look at for the month of March. The month of March is representative of National Reading Month. It kicked off yesterday with Dr. Seuss's birthday. Got some young children, I do, and one came home with the Cat in the Hat. Not that that's the only book that was written, but that is one of the ones that these young people read. And Dr. Seuss, he passed away, I believe, in 1991, and I don't know how old he was, but his legacy continues to live on. Also, March is the month of St. Patrick's Day. It's also the month of Easter, and it is when the springing forward, daylight savings time is, I believe, the third Sunday of this month. So things that are going on in this month. But this month I count as a health month. It's also Women's History Month this month, and we may address some of those. So the month of March, each month that we do this program, we started off with 2016, looking at the resolutions that individuals make, and we went through budgeting the first month. We looked at vision board and kind of setting in our minds how we want our life to go. And then in February, which is the love month, we looked at relationships. And this month, we're looking at health. It's getting to be spring, and people are getting outside, and we're exercising, and we're doing different things such as that. And so we want to look at some aspects of health. We want to look at what can be some things that we can do to change our health. I know that, you know, the first of the year, we make resolutions about, you know, living a healthier life, living a healthier lifestyle, you know, getting out there, going to the gym and exercise. And I remember in the very first part of the year, before my children took ill for the month of February, I found myself trying to go to the gym, and they have a kid's place in there, and they have a kids area, and I tried to go a couple of evenings, and unfortunately there was never any room. And I like to do the class. They have Zumba, and they had the body work at the Gold's Gym on South Church Street. And but you know, I have two children, and if I'm trying to exercise in a class that starts at 5:30. When I get there, I'm unable to attend because there's nowhere for my kids. So I, you know, because I was so many people that was trying to work out and do those different things. So anyhow, so I haven't been back to the gym since, and that's a good enough excuse. I know that we've talked about you know, the defense mechanisms and the lies that we tell ourselves, and I could have figured out a way to make my way back, or the children are sick and things like that. And but exercise is important to physical health and mental health and even spiritual health. You have some exercise programs like yoga, and that's mind and body, and that's you know, working on, you know, yoga means yoke, or coming together and working on what is apart. And so with yoga, you know, you have some yoga classes, you can get into some for as cheap as $5 some places. And my phone is ringing while I'm on my radio program, and I would hate to put this on hold, but people should realize that I am doing a radio program that I do every Thursday from 8 to 8:30. And we take a topic, and I don't know why anybody will call during the time that I'm doing the broadcast. So I'm going to, this is important. We're talking about health, and it seems to be distracted. When you get distracted, you are unable to think clearly. You're unable to rest. You're unable to focus. And you got to, you set out a plan. And it goes back to when we were talking about relationships, setting boundaries, individuals. And those boundaries must be consistent. I've been continually, this is the second year, of doing Talk with Trinity. It was, we started it March 1st of 2014, and it was sort of whimsical, the way that we started, but it's been very helpful. It's caused me to be able to focus, to give the information about counseling, and it's caused me to, you know, consider what it is, my purpose, and it works. I mean, everything is connected. As I've started this, this is 2 years on air, and I thank God for that. Initially, when I started it, I had no idea and how it would work. And individuals can call in. You always have the opportunity to call in, 347-945-5924, 347-945-5924. Can't really see if you call in. I hope that it would beep in. But you can call in with any questions. You're also able to call 704-323-2446. Or 336-675-0075, or email me at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com with any questions that you might have about the topics that we take, or want to offer your facility or your organization as a resource for anything that we are working with. I'd like to compile information. I encourage individuals to come and us to have a monthly forum, or we can come together and see how we, each other relates to the different topics that we address, because with counseling, it's very difficult to be able to do everything well. Everybody has strengths, everybody has weaknesses, and it's very important that we lay egos aside and just kind of allow the process as it is to encourage one another. Another aspect, Women of Strength is a nonprofit organization that I put together back 2003-2004 as an answer to professional women in the field of human services. But we are human, and we experience different things. And one of the things we experience is stressful situations on our jobs, in our homes, and we really need to be able to focus on our health, which is all of what this month is all about. And it's a run-on commentary about that, talking to my husband, and I said to him that I am interested in a PhD program. My dissertation would be related to impaired professionals. I would have to hone that in onto what it is that I'm trying to answer. The questions, there are a lot of questions that come about. There are things such as vicarious trauma, where when you continually are working with individuals in this field, you begin to pick up their traits. As a Christian, if we go back to the original wisdom, knowledge, and instruction given to us by God and some of the previous broadcasts, then you know that I have this belief that we pick up that the disease of addiction and alcoholism is a part of a greater being, to attack an individual and to cause them to think of themselves as less than. And as an impaired professional, oftentimes when we get into the field, it was because we believed that we can make a difference. And then what ended up happening is, as our lives have gone on, the differences that we attempted to make have been affected by the things that we have observed in just in the world or the things that we have observed just in the field and for things that have happened. And say, for example, this is 22 years in the field of drugs and alcohol that I've been. You know from previous broadcasts that I graduated my school in 1988, and I entered into the University of Charlotte early with the UTOP program as a 16-year-old, turned 17, once I got to college, and was interested in becoming a teacher. That didn't work out simply because of rebellion on my part. I just did not want, I was rebellious and didn't respect authority, and that was just, you know, some aspects of myself that I've continually learned to work around. But as a teacher, I just didn't see what they were presenting in college, and so I went undecided for a number of years, and then I went back to, then I picked up psychology. I thought that was the most interesting topic. I got a Bachelor of Arts in psychology with a minor in sociology because I was really good at observing the human mind. However, firing your advisor puts you at a limitation or at a detriment. I graduated without an internship, without any knowledge of what I was going to do in the future. And so I wandered around aimless for about a year. I say wander around aimless. I was working at McDonald's. I worked at the Harris Y. I worked at the called Raggedy Ann and Andy daycare or child care development center. And I found myself involved with fighting back. And fighting back opened up the opportunity of working in the substance abuse field. And this is 22 years ago because I received the employment of Mecklenburg County in 1994. As a 22-year-old, I believe. So that's very strange. It's been 22 years, and then 22 years later, and did not have any idea what I was getting into. I was very afraid. I was only familiar with individuals that drank, used a little marijuana, and maybe cocaine as they say an after effect, you know, sleeping all day, stuff like that. But have no real knowledge of heroin or the withdrawal effects of alcohol, except I did witness my father, you know, go through DTs and not even knowing who I was, which is kind of traumatic in itself. But ended up working there in detox and stayed there 4 years and continually stayed educated. And back then you could, you know, talk to an individual, do an assessment, which is called a social history, you know, do the diagnosis, make a recommendation, you know, run them to Black Mountain, which was the treatment facility that they would go to. They would stay there 28 days, or they could get an additional 14 days, you know, so they were going to stay in 42 days. And some ended up staying in Asheville and on Black Mountain and, you know, going to some halfway houses and then, you know, staying clean and then working in the field and then making their way back or return back home and end up back in the process all over again. So different things would happen back then. And now I spoke with some individuals that are employed working for R.J. Blackley Treatment Center in Butner, and an individual can go inpatient for all of 18 days. I had no idea. And the referral process was the same, or they could come in by self-referral. And I said, well, what happened? What happened to the days of the 28 days or 42 days? And it was like Medicaid and government and things like that. And, you know, also in talking with them, you know, we were taking people regularly. And then when I was working at the shelter, there were individuals that were on waiting lists to go to treatment, ended up in the programs at the shelter, and then they began to cut those. So 22 years later, funding has decreased in helping people, and now there are several initiatives for working with clients that have substance abuse problems. Those problems haven't gone away. Matter of fact, they're increasing. And so you've got people that have been in the field for a long period of time that may be in recovery, people that have been in the field for a short period of time and just have the education, and then You've got, you know, individuals like me that are in recovery, not through recovery programs, who've been working in and out of the system, and a lot of it is missing. And the thing remains the same. When you're dealing with all of these external stressors, both us and professionals and clients alike, you have a level of coping that you began to go through. And you may begin to find yourself doing detrimental things. When I worked in the jail, there were people that were unable to sleep, were taking sleeping medication on a nightly basis just to be able to sleep. I was friends with a probation officer, and every night, they would take a Goody powder and a Pepsi. I myself drink probably way too much caffeine. You know, I need to take a look at that as an answer to what might be, you know, some other stuff in response, some physical effects in response to the stressors that you receive on the job, and wanting to be, you in your heart, you want to be the best counselor, you want to be the best therapist, you want to be the best social worker, but you might have life experiences that might be telling you that you're the exact opposite. You might be working with individuals that work well with those who have co-occurring disorders, but you might have a family member, a mate or otherwise, that may be struggling, and it makes you think to yourself that you aren't doing the best that you are able to do. And so then your health is affected, your physical health is affected, and you're going to have headaches. You're going to have sleepless nights. Your eating habits are going to be poor. You're going to feel like you don't have time to exercise. And then once that fails you, your physical health, then your mental health, you're gonna experience things like anxiety and depression and what feels like bipolar and all these mental health disorders. Then your emotional health, you're gonna find yourself going through crying spells or anger spells, explosive, or, you know, just in response to everything that you're going through. And then as you continue to move along, you're gonna begin to lose hope, and you're supposed to be speaking hope to your clients, and then you're finding yourself hopeless. You know, you got individuals that are working in the Department of Corrections making decisions like, you know what, it's better to go ahead and sell drugs because I'm not living within my means, or I'm living outside of my means, or there are no means. You're working for the government. You're thinking that you should be getting paid and taken care of, and then here you are struggling because you make too much to get assistance, which makes too little to not need assistance. And so, you know, you're struggling there, so that puts you at a disadvantage. Or if you're a single person as a human services professional, you know, you find somebody that says they're going to be in your life to help you, and then they don't, and then you find yourself either being abused or mistreated or lied to or belittled, or, you know, and then you go to work, and then, you know, so it just goes round and round and round in a cycle. And for this month, this is the spring, you know, every month this is a cleansing, you know, the wind blows in the month of March. My daughter asked me, you know, about, we had a really bad windstorm and it was going to be some tornadoes, and, you know, she's six, and my seven-year-old kind of has, they both have a good intuition, but, you know, she was asking, so, Mom, you know, what is the purpose of a tornado? And here I am having to explain to her the purpose of God's work, which I learned that you don't really question what it is that he does. But she's interested, so I had to think of a pretty decent analogy that would kind of give her the idea of the wind. And I told her, I said, well, you know, the wind is sort of like God's vacuum cleaner. You know, he's God, you know, he's over all the earth and all that's within it. And if the earth has too much junk, you know, we got to be rid of it. You know, we can physically get rid of it, we can recycle, we can do all of those things, but, you know, we need a wind. And that wind that was kicked up, you know, it'll blow dead trees down. Because they're still standing, you know, because, you know, in the woods or whatever, they're dead, they're still standing, they look alive, but the wind will come through. And it'll knock them down, and allow the natural process of the rotting to occur. You know, the wind will clean the air. You know, during hurricanes, it gets real calm, and there's a cleaning of the air during that, the atmosphere. That's how the meteorologists know that there's some changes up there because there's a change in the atmosphere. So the wind causes, you know, the wind and the air, the wind is air moving quickly. You know, the wind is air moving slowly. You know, so that, you know, it cleans up that. And then any dead leaves or anything, it's God's vacuum cleaning to move that stuff on out of the way and make room for new stuff to grow. And so I told her, I said, that's what the wind does. There's really no need to be afraid of that wind because that is helpful. You know, and just thinking about it, you know, some of us in human services, we need a wind to go through our lives and to clean us up and to clear our minds out, clear our thoughts, you know, to help us that. And March is that month. And so, again, 22 years in the field, been doing pretty decent. You know, as I reflect back over my own life, I'm very grateful that, you know, God has put people around me that, you know, there's a tugging, but he's put people around me that are very strong, that, you know, we just continue to pray and we just continue to be grateful and thank God for all that he's doing because he has so many abilities and he has so many expectations for us. And we just thank God for all of that. And I'm going to cut this program short. You're welcome to be in touch, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you, God, for allowing us to come together. Amen.